privilege that we have to spend some time thinking about and working on our children's hearts. We know that when we come to this particular issue of helping children to accept no as an answer, we can often experience a lot of resistance. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as parents to be persistent as well, so that we would learn how to meet our children in their demandingness at times, so that they can learn how to accept no as an answer. Lord, help us to see this not just as an irritation or an annoyance, but as an opportunity to teach them some valuable lessons about the heart. We look forward to what you're going to do in this session. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you've all heard parents say, if I had a quarter for every time my kids asked me for something, I'd be a millionaire.
Kids are always asking for things, aren't they? You know, can you take me to the store? Can you play with me? Can I watch a video? Can I have a snack? They're always coming to us with requests.
And our default answer is yes, right? We want to say yes to our children. We want them to have what they want. We want to make them happy. We want to please them. And that's a good thing. So saying yes to our children on a regular basis, we find to be helpful.
But sometimes we have to say no, don't we? We can't always give them what they want. Sometimes we have a bigger picture. We know more information than they know, and we know it's not best for them. Or sometimes we're trying to balance different priorities. So sometimes we have to say no.
And that's where the rub comes, because some children have a hard time accepting no as an answer. Sometimes parents know more. They have a bigger picture of what's going on, and they have to say no. And children have a hard time accepting those limits. They have a hard time with disappointment sometimes, and so they engage in all kinds of manipulations. Essentially, what they do is they become unkind to us, or they express their disapproval in mean ways. That makes it hard. See, the real issue here is that children sacrifice relationship, that is the relationship between you and them, for what they want. They want their issue, and their issue becomes so important that they're willing to mistreat you in order to get what they want. That is a problem. How many of you have children who might have a problem sometimes with accepting no as an answer? When that happens, what kind of things do your children resort to? What do they do? Whining? What else? Yes? Repeatedly asking over and over and over again. What else? Arguing? What else? Why, saying why, yes. Some children yell, okay, yes. They disobey. Okay, so you've got these problems that children have that they can't accept no as an answer, and they engage in all kinds of different behaviors.
So as parents, one of the jobs we have is to help children accept no as an answer, to understand that sometimes in life we have limits that we have to live within.
Yes.
Children need to learn to live within limits when they're young. Even as adults, we have to learn to live within limits. It's a skill that kids need to learn, and we have the opportunity to teach that when we have to give them a no answer.
Living within limits is part of life, isn't it? We all have to live within limits. Even as adults, we have to live within limits, whether it's financial limits to live within a budget, or it's limits that have to do with our diet so that we don't get oversized. We all have to live within limits in order to be effective in life. One of the heart qualities that allows us to live within limits is contentment. The ability to be content with what I have instead of complaining about what I don't have. To be satisfied. That's an important part of what we need to do. Now, one fun thing about the scriptures is they talk about contentment. And Paul, the apostle, had a great view of this understanding of contentment. In fact, he says, I have learned to be content. Now, we'll talk more about what he has to say about contentment, but at least he says, I have learned to be contentment. That is good news for us. It's good news because our children can also learn contentment. It's our job to teach them sometimes, and we do that by helping them learn to accept no as an answer.
See, contentment is not something that we're either born with or without. It's not part of a personality, either our children are content or they're not, but it's something that we have to learn in life. We have to learn how to live within limits. We have to learn how to have an attitude of peace in our hearts, even when we can't have the thing we think we want. We have to learn how to talk to ourselves in our hearts when we're getting that no answer, when we can't get to that goal that we want. How do we respond to that? That's all packaged in contentment, and it's something that we want to teach to our children, But I think we also, even as adults, need to be working on it.
But there are some children who are driven, aren't they? There are children who have within them this sense of ambition in life. You know they're going to go places. We just hope they're going to go the right places. But they're on their way. Now, some parents, when they find children can't accept no for an answer, they say, well, you know, there's some things I like about that. And it's true, isn't it? When we see our children with ambition or determination or persistence, we do like those things. Those are character qualities that can be tremendous assets for children and will help them later on in life. But unfortunately, some parents then encourage children who are demanding. Demanding is the negative side of that. Demanding says, I value my issue more important than our relationship, and I'm going to get my issue no matter what costs our relationship. Those children are in danger. It's our job as parents to help them see that ambition and perseverance and determination are good things, but there's a line that you cross. And when you cross that line and you start offending people or hurting people or being mean to people because you don't get what you want, then you've crossed a line, a very important line, and you have become demanding.
So we want to help children understand the difference between pursuing a goal and being demanding. That can be rather confusing, even for us as parents, but we want to understand where that line is. One of the things that we're looking for as a child is pursuing a goal, which is a good thing. The child is being persistent. When the child begins to damage relationship in the process, becomes unkind, doesn't care about how other people feel, just wants to pursue that goal beyond other people, then that's a problem. And so we want to help children understand that there's a time when you have to stop asking. You have to let it go because you don't want to damage relationship. The relationship you have with mom or dad is more important than that thing that you want. And so we want to help how children understand the difference between just pursuing a goal, which is good, and being demanding, which is not good. And so it's the demandingness that we want to focus on in a child's heart, the ability to just press on and press on and press on for the thing they want without considering other people. That demandingness we need to take a look at.
Desires are in the heart. And so we have to look at the desires of the heart because those desires can become out of control. The heart is made up of the things we believe. Certainly that's important, but it's also made up of values, the things that we hold important. Children often hold their issues to be very important. Those are their values. And they don't hold relationship as important. They take for granted the relationships in family life in particular. And so they start becoming mean to other people when they don't get what they want. That demandingness is a problem. That's what we want to speak to in this session. Because our job is to help our children grow in contentment. That's what we want. Our children can learn contentment. In fact, in the scriptures, Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. We want our children also to learn how to be content, to live within limits. It is a spiritual quality. It's a quality of the heart. Now, sometimes as parents, we know more than our children do about a situation. We know, in fact, that we have to say no or they might be in danger. And so the limits we place, our children often don't understand. And we can talk and talk and talk about them as much as we want, but they don't understand them. Sometimes children have to just accept no as an answer. They just have to accept it. It's part of living life. Sometimes we as parents don't understand some of the limits that are placed on us. We just have to accept them. Children have to learn that in family life. Many times they learn it in family life because we as parents have to teach it. Let's look at Chrissy and see how she and her dad are dealing with this issue of accepting a no answer. Bill. Oh, yeah, Ed McMahon says I'm going to be a millionaire. Sure. Bill.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You know how you taught me that sometimes when you say yes to one thing, you have to say no to something else?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Well, I had to make a choice, and I'm not going to be able to go on the family church retreat with you this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a difficult decision, but, well, while I'm at the party Friday night, I'll be thinking about you at the retreat. I got to go, Dad.
Chrissy, I think you better have a seat. We need to have a talk here.
Yes?
You're going to the church retreat. You're not going to a party.
Dad, this isn't just any party. This is the party of the year. Everyone who's cool will be at this party, Dad. I can't believe Vinny asked me to this party. This is such a privilege. I've got to go to this party, Dad.
Who is Vinny?
Vinny is just the most wonderful, adorable guy I've ever met, Dad. Wait till you meet him. You will love him, too. He's just great.
It seems like that's what you were saying about your dog that we bought you.
Dad.
And I'm the one taking care of him. In fact, every week you seem to fall in love with a sweet, adorable guy. What happened to Pete from last week?
Oh, Dad, Pete is so last week. I mean, Vinny is an adult.
Oh,
he's
yeah?
mature, Dad. He's got a job at the tattoo parlor. Dad, he has his own van. It is so cool. In fact, he fixed up this van to be like a camper. It's even got a bed in it, Dad. It is so cool.
Over my dead body, you're not going anywhere within 500 feet of this Mr. Prince Charming.
Dad, come on.
Look, you have plans for this weekend. And even if you didn't, you're too young to go on a date. In fact, you're grounded for the next 8 years.
Dad, that's not fair. Dad, I'm 15. And he's 18. That makes us 33.
What kind of logic is that? The answer is no.
Dad, come on. If we're all gone on the retreat over the weekend, that means the house will be empty. Doesn't that make you a little worried?
And you think I'd be less worried with you here alone in it, with Vinny on the loose?
Dad, you'll love Vinny. He's great. He's mature.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Dad.
His van has a bed.
Dad, but what if I clean the house while you're gone?
But his bed has a van.
Dad.
The answer is no.
Isn't it the thought that counts? I thought about going on the retreat.
No, the answer is no.
I'll clean the whole house, and I'll keep my room clean for a year, Dad.
You?
Yeah.
Keep your room clean for a whole year?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I'd love to see that. Maybe I ought to reconsider.
Dad, you're the greatest. I'm calling Vinny and telling him.
Wait! That was a moment of weakness. I don't know what I was thinking. The answer is no.
Dad, you can be so stubborn sometimes.
That makes two of us. Well, sometimes our children can't accept no for an answer, and our job as parents is to help them to accept it. And sometimes we have to hang in there with them and put up with all of their things that they do. In fact, there are three things that they do, primary things that we're going to talk about. The big three that children use in order to bypass our no answer. We want to talk about those and how to address them in family life. The first one has to do with arguing.
In fact, we call it a demandingness symptom. When you see the arguing happen, you realize, uh-oh, we've got a demandingness problem here in the heart that we need to address. Now, arguing is an interesting phenomenon that happens in family life because often as parents, we get involved in it without even realizing what happened. You know, we give the child an answer, we have to say no, and the child asks why. And, well, that's a simple enough question. We can give them an answer to that, and so we explain why. And then they say, but. And, well, we've got an answer for that, too, and we can come around that. And before you know it, we're in this arguing debate with our child, not where we wanted to be, but it's where we end up. And so arguing is often a sign that we've got a demandingness problem.
And it reminds me that many times as parents, we do good things with our kids that sometimes end up in places we never expected. This is one of those examples. You talk to your kids, and there's nothing wrong with answering their questions. But then we get to a place where we find out that this is arguing. Every time I answer a question, he argues with me something else. And we say, wait a minute, we're in a place that we shouldn't be. And so then we have to say to our son or our daughter, look, I'm sorry. I realize that I'm trying to engage you in conversation and dialogue, which is a good thing, but now we've ended up in a place where we shouldn't be. So we're going to change the way we're relating here. Often we have to do that when it comes to parenting because there are many good things that we do in the life of our children. And then what happens in the end? Is we get to a place we don't want to be. We get to that place where we say, wow, we've created a monster. And it's not because we've necessarily done anything wrong, is it? We've done something that's actually good. But sometimes the good things that we do tend to drift into areas of weakness in our children. And it's at those points we need to stop. And we need to say, here, we need to make some changes in the way that we're relating to our children.
Single mom Lydia realized she was having a problem with her son Jackson because often when Lydia said no to her son, then he came back with an argument, but he often revealed some more information in the midst of that argument. And then Lydia found herself in a dilemma because, well, when she had that new information, she felt like, well, maybe this is reasonable and I should say yes. But, and she found herself often changing her mind, changing the no answer to a yes answer after she got more information. And she realized in doing that, she was actually encouraging the arguing. And so she was in a dilemma here because the new information made her think, well, maybe I should think twice about this. But she didn't know where to go with that. One of the things that we can do when we find ourselves in this arguing trap is to postpone our answers, not to say yes or no immediately, but make sure we have all the information first. So one of the things Lydia did was decide that she was not going to answer the request initially, but she asked more questions, she asked for more information, and then she told her son, let me think about that for a while. Just by postponing the answer allowed her to change the dynamic in their relationship so she didn't feel like she was encouraging the demandingness.
See, sometimes we as parents get into a habit with our kids that we realize they're coming, they're starting to ask us a question, and we know that they like to argue, and we don't like to get in that dance with our kids, and so we're quick to say no then. We kind of go to the other extreme instead of engaging in arguing, we say no. And then they come back with more information, and we say, well, maybe I should change my mind. Then we're caught in that dilemma, do I change my mind and say yes now that I know what he really wants, and now I think probably I should have said yes in the first place, or do I stick to a no answer? Oh, those are tough decisions. What Lydia is doing here in this story is postponing her answer till she gets more of the facts. A great idea. I think I find myself sometimes with my kids saying no too quickly, and then I'm in that dilemma. Do I change my mind, which may encourage more arguing later on, or do I stick to my no answer because I... even in spite of their good ideas that they're bringing to me.
Sometimes we stick with the no answer because of the way the child is coming back at us. Yes, they might have a good point, but the way they're handling the relationship is inappropriate. And so we still have to continue to say no, and we may explain that to our child. Well, I like what you're telling me now, and this is helpful information, but I still need to say no here because the way you're treating me is not right. And our relationship is more important than this thing you want to do, so we're still going to say no, and I want you to work on the way that you're treating me in the process.
The process is important. There are times when we will say no, even when the child comes back with further information, but if they're yelling at us or treating us disrespectfully, we say, you know, ordinarily I might say yes because I see what's going on here, but this time I'm going to say no just because of the way you're presenting it to me. So when you're faced with arguing as a response to a no answer, a child not being able to accept a no answer, we would suggest that, number one, you might postpone the decision till you get more information. But two, you may decide to stick to a no answer because of the way the child is bringing it. So the process is also important. I hope you're catching from us that we are not don't have a cookie-cutter approach to parenting. Your kid does this, then you do this. We don't do that. We're looking for hard issues, which are complex at times. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind. And sometimes it's a good idea to change your mind. It models humility. Oh, I made a mistake. Let's go back and reevaluate that. That's okay. But if you sense a demandingness in your child, and then you are quick to give in on a regular basis, what are you doing? You're encouraging that demandingness. That's what we're trying to prevent here. So there are ways that you might help with this arguing. One is to postpone the answer, and another one is to draw attention to the process. The way that you're talking to me is very important.
One of the symptoms of demandingness is arguing. Another symptom of demandingness is badgering. Some children just keep coming at us with the same question reworded in a different way. If they get a no answer to this, then they want to come around the other side, and they want to keep coming at us, and we call that badgering. They're continuing to pursue their goal. They're just making it look a little different, thinking they're asking a different question, but really it's the same question. They're just coming after us again.
See, a badger is a small animal that's very tenacious. So he digs and digs and digs and digs, and so we've developed a verb in our vocabulary called badger. It takes after an animal. And we describe children who are tenacious about coming at us with the same question over and over in different kinds of ways. One of our resources we're having translated into Spanish for the Spanish community now, and the translator meets with us once a month. And she came to this issue of badgering in one of our books, and as she did, she says, we don't have that phenomenon in the Spanish language. We don't have a badger and then a verb that means to badger at the same time. And so here's what I did, she said, with the translation. She says, we decided to call the animal a woodpecker. Because isn't that what children do to us sometimes? Peck, 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 peck. They come after us over and over again. And so she used that idea, even though there's no verb for woodpeckering in Spanish. The idea is also present that they're coming at us over and over and over again. So that's what we're talking about here. We want to be careful when our children are coming at us. They sometimes use this manipulation of asking the same question in different ways over and over again.
Kayla's 5 years old and she wants a snack. So she goes to mom and she says, Mom, can I have a snack? Mom says, no, we're going to have lunch in about 15 minutes. We're not going to have a snack now. Oh, but I'm hungry. Can I just have a little snack? No, we're not going to have any snack. I'm making lunch. You can help me if you like. Oh, I'll help you if I can eat some of it. No, I don't want you to have anything to eat until we have some lunch. Oh, can I have a drink? No, we're not going to have anything until lunch. Oh, could I just have some apple juice, please? No, I said you can't have anything. I want you to stop talking about food now until we have lunch. Oh, but my bear is hungry. He wants a drink. You know, this is what they do sometimes, don't they? They keep coming at us, rephrasing the question, badgering.
So, what do we do with children who are badgering? At least one of the things we want to be careful of is not to give in. See, the goal of badgering is to wear parents down until they finally say, okay. When children are doing this, they're just trying to tire us out. And frankly, it works. Doesn't it? You feel like saying, okay, fine, go have a drink. And what happens? Our children are encouraged in their badgering to not accept no as an answer and to use this manipulation to get what they want. Again, perseverance isn't bad. Determination is good. But when you cross that line, that socially appropriate line, and you start damaging relationship, then you've got a problem. You know when to quit, I hope. Most of us as adults know that when we've asked something, we might ask it again, but if the person keeps saying no, we know when to quit. Because we know there's a socially appropriate line where if we cross that line, then we're starting to make people angry. Then we're being annoying. Then we've crossed the line. Children don't know where the line is. And part of our job is to show them there is a line here and you have crossed it. So one of the things we want to do with our children is say, the answer is no. We're not going to talk about this anymore. We're going to stop talking about this, and I don't want you to ask me any more questions about it. The answer is no.
When Dad was telling us about his 12-year-old son who had gotten his badgering down to a science, and he would continue to ask for things and sometimes even change the subject, but continue to ask, Dad felt like he couldn't even get to the end of the discussion until Dad said yes to something. Even if the son, you know, if you're going to say no to this, I'm going to keep asking for different things until we can finally get to an answer, a yes answer. They were stuck in this trap, this pattern in their relationship that they needed to adjust. They needed to learn how to end the conversation without the yes.
Because it has to do with social appropriateness, it's helpful for you as a parent, if you have a child who badgers, to reflect what you're feeling. Because a child who badgers creates this tension in relationship. It becomes more tense and tense because you have to keep saying no. It's not even, you feel like you're having to be rude to your children because they're being socially inappropriate. And so it's helpful to reflect your emotions and say, you know, I'm feeling really uncomfortable. I already answered this question for you, I think several times, and I'm feeling like you're not considering how I'm feeling here. And so I'm starting to feel really frustrated by this. Or with young children, you might even say, I've already said no, but I feel like you're coming at me like a truck. I think you better think of something else to say before I feel like I'm smashed to bits. What we're doing is trying to raise the feeling level here because social appropriateness is often connected to how people feel. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, it's important for that child to know that you're feeling uncomfortable so they can catch it, so they can understand that what they're doing is wrong, that they've crossed that socially appropriate line.
Now, sometimes when a child badgers, we begin as a parent feeling uncomfortable, but we quickly translate that uncomfortable into anger. And we get angry with our children for coming at us. And we would suggest that what we need to do is step back and recognize, why are we getting angry here? Why am I feeling angry? Oh, yes, it's because my child just keeps getting at me. I'm feeling uncomfortable in this relationship. And then we want to reflect that to our child and talk about the process again rather than the issue. It seems to me you keep asking me that question. You're irritating our relationship. It seems like you're valuing what you want more than you value your relationship with me. Do you see how you're damaging our relationship when you keep asking that question? What we want to do is raise the awareness level for our kids. Help them see what they're doing, because they don't see it. They don't understand it. All they can see is their goal, where they want to head. And we want to reflect for them what it's doing to our relationship. The sign can be the fact that we as parents feel uncomfortable. And so we want to show our children that. We want to talk about that uncomfortable feeling so they can begin to recognize that in relationships as well.
But I think also sometimes I feel guilty. You know, my child keeps coming at me, badgering, and I start to feel guilty. And then I say, well, maybe I should change my mind. There are times to change our minds. And so sometimes it's a good idea to change our minds. We're not saying you can't change your mind, but we have to ask ourselves the question, when I change my mind, what is it doing in my son's life? Is this a good time to change my mind? What am I communicating to my son? If he's treating me unkindly, maybe what I need to do is say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to stick to no. That's important for you to learn how to live within limits. We all need to live within limits. You may not understand why. You may have all kinds of good reasons, but the answer is still no. So sticking to a no answer is often productive when we're talking to children and helping them live within those limits.
And sometimes we have to help them change the subject. Get off the thing that they're so focused on. I've said no to that. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Let's talk about something different. I've even said to my kids, can you ask me for something I can say yes to? Just helping them think outside the box here. Why are you pressing for something you know you can't have? Let's talk about something I'd be happy to say yes to. Or we just ask our child, let's talk about something different. I want you to stop asking questions for a little while. Let's just have a discussion about something else. Helping our kids refocus their energy more constructively.
All right, let's talk about a third demandingness symptom, and that is whining. Whining is a manipulative technique that children and some adults use in order to punish other people and make the whole atmosphere a miserable atmosphere for a period of time.
Whining often works. That's why children use it. In fact, all three of these demandingness symptoms are so prevalent because they work. Parents get tired of the whining. Parents get tired of the badgering. And so we give the child whatever they're asking for, or something close to it, just so that we can stop it. The whining is irritating. That's why it works. But what we want to do is recognize that in family life, look for the patterns we might have with our kids. If we have a whiner, we want to ask ourselves, why is this child continuing to whine? Maybe it's working. Maybe I do start giving in to the whining. And we want to recognize that pattern we might have in family life and adjust it and respond to that whining differently.
One mom told us about her daughter, Tia. She says, when I tell Tia no, she starts whining. And I say, okay, you need to go to your room. So she goes to her room with that whiny voice. It's definitely the voice, she says. And she says, goes to her room and she says, Mom, some more, when she's in her room. She says, when Tia's unhappy, everybody's unhappy, because whiners and complainers, what they do is they create an atmosphere for everyone else that says, if I can't be happy, then no one can be happy. I'm going to punish everybody here. That's what whining is. And so we have to help our children understand there are some limits here. You cannot engage in this. If you're going to be unhappy, you need to go spend some time alone. And there have been times when I've even told my own children, you know, there's some children who like to be happy and some children want to be unhappy. And it sounds like right now you want to be unhappy. So I don't want you to be around the rest of us here because the rest of us want to be happy. I want you to go spend some time alone and you work on this. If you need some help, I'll help you. But I want you to work on it on your own for a little bit and come back to us and show us that you want to be happy with the rest of our family. See, whining is a way of getting revenge. It's a way of punishing us so much that we want to give in. We have to be careful about that. If you want to do a study about accepting no as an answer, and you want to see how parents and children are relating along these lines, just hang out in a grocery store. Because in a grocery store, children want things. Advertisers make it their goal of making us discontent with the things that we have and always wanting something more. And so as advertisers do that, even in a store, kids say, I want this, or could I have that? Parents have to address the issue of accepting no for an answer right there in the grocery store every day. If you want to do a study of this and see and take your kids in the store, let's just watch. Let's just walk around and see how other families are handling this question. It won't be long. Just go in the cereal aisle or the cookie aisle or the candy aisle. Just go there and just watch. And watch how parents interact with their children. It is amazing to me. You'll be able to pick it out. You'll see, oh, there's the whining behavior and the complaining. Oh, there's the badgering. See, the badgering is going on right there. There's the arguing. It's happening. Parents in the grocery store often give their kids what they want. And we find them encouraging these manipulative techniques. It's not wrong to give your kids things that they want. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you see in your child a negative heart issue, a heart issue that has to do with demandingness, then you may want to make some changes. You may want to be more strict in that area so that you aren't contributing to their inability to be content. Contentment is a very important part of their lives.
And so the symptoms that we see in a child, the arguing, the badgering, the whining, they're symptoms of a demandingness problem that's in the heart, and we want to move the child from demandingness to contentment. And so we may develop a plan for a particular child who's struggling in that area. And so we'll keep that in mind. The goal for this child, in my mind, is for this child to learn contentment. And we may even share that with the child. Say, you know, we need to work on this idea of contentment because it seems like you have a hard time whenever I say no. You don't handle your disappointment very well. And so we're going to work on contentment in life with you, because it's something that's going to help you be successful as you get older.
We want to share with you four ideas, four parts of a contentment plan, four strategies, as it were, for you to use with your children when you find that you need to move into the contentment plan more with your kids. There are some children that are just driven. They take life on as a challenge. So it seems that every time they turn around, they're dealing with arguing or badgering or whining. And so as you work with your children, we want you to have some specific hands-on strategies that you can use with them in order to make this work. Let's start with the first one. The first strategy that we come to as we're dealing with all of these kind of contentment issues is
to help children understand the difference between a demand, a desire, and a wish. Some children, everything they want, they put in the demand category. I have to have this or I'm going to die. You're ruining my life if you don't give this to me. Demands. Some children, everything they want is a demand. We want to help them understand that there are different levels here of things that we need in life. Some things are demands. Some things are desires. Some things are wishes. And we need to help our children move them down on the intensity scale so that we're talking more about the things we'd like to have in life, rather than the things that we have to have.
Jordan is 10 years old. We say, let me tell you the story about Jordan to some of the children we deal with, because Jordan is very demanding. When Jordan comes down for spaghetti for dinner, he has to have meatballs in his spaghetti. If it were a wish, he would say, I wish there were meatballs in my spaghetti. If it were just a desire, he'd say, I want meatballs in my spaghetti. But Jordan has a problem with demandingness. And so he comes down and he says, no meatballs! I have to have meatballs if I'm going to eat spaghetti. And then he tries to treat his mother unkindly because he doesn't get meatballs in his spaghetti. He needs to understand the difference between a demand, a desire, and a wish. That illustration of Jordan can be very helpful with children to help them move their demands down to desires and wishes as they're approaching the very things that they're trying to address in life. Understanding the difference between a demand, desire, and wish can help children back down their intensity level.
We want to help children understand that everything that they want in life cannot be a demand. We've got to have some balance here in life. And there are a lot of things in life we'd like to have, maybe someday. And as adults, there are things we'd probably like to have. We've got a kind of a wish list. Maybe someday we'll get to those things. But we are in the midst of life, content to live without them for now, thinking that maybe we'll have them someday. Children often don't have that ability to look down the road and say, maybe I'll have it someday. They have to have it now, because they're very present-oriented. So we want to help them just see the bigger picture. See, some things we can't have right now. We can work toward them and have them later. That's part of developing contentment in life, is to understand, yes, I may have that later, but I still need to have peace in my heart now, even before I get it.
Children who are demanding are often very angry. They get angry about all kinds of things because they don't get what they want. And so the second strategy we would suggest as you're working with your children in a contentment plan is to talk to them about emotional investment. As I was working with one family, Their young man was having a problem with this demandingness, and I was trying to teach him about it, and I thought emotional investment would be a great approach with him, and so I asked him this question. I said, you ever save any money for anything? He says, well, yeah, I'm saving money now. I said, for what? He says, well, my parents say I can have a dog if I pay for it. Not just any dog, but a yellow lab. I said, oh, wow, that sounds great. We talked about the dog for a little bit. Then I said, how much money do you have saved so far? He said, well, I've got $400. I said, how much do you need? He says, well, the dog costs $500. I said, oh, great. So where's that money? It's in the bank. Great. Do you have any other money? He says, not much. I have a dollar in my drawer at home. I said, wow, that's interesting. I said, how would you feel if you went to your drawer when you got home and you found that your dollar was missing? What would you do? Oh, I'd feel terrible. I hate to lose money. I said, well, what would happen if you went to the bank and find out that someone had stolen your $400 out of the bank? Oh, that would be terrible. I can't believe somebody would do that. I'd be really upset, he said. I said, now, let's take that idea, because it looks like your mom asks you to do some things every once in a while, or she says no to you sometimes. And when that happens, you treat all of those no answers as a bank account kind of investment instead of a drawer investment. Losing a dollar isn't very bad, but losing $400 would be terrible. It sounds like every time that your mom says no, you respond with it as if it's a $400 request. Everything is a big deal. You've invested so much. Maybe you need to treat them like a dollar investment. Because really, when you think about it, losing a dollar isn't that bad, is it, when you compare it to $400? He says, no, I guess that wouldn't be bad at all. Well, you need to start looking at some of your issues when mom says no and responding them as dollar issues instead of $400 issues. That'll help you understand this concept of emotional investment.
What we're doing is raising the awareness level for kids, helping them understand how they're responding to life and the things that they want. Emotional investment talks about how much of your emotion, how much of your heart, really, you've got set into something that you want. Some children believe that everything that they want, they've invested all of themselves into it. If they're asking for something and they get a no answer, they're devastated. What we want to help children do is not to invest so much of their heart into every request. Some things are just, they have to be held on to more loosely, open hands, you know. Okay, if I can do it, great. If I don't get to do it, that's okay too. That's emotional investment. How much of yourself are you putting into this request, and are you able to transition back out of it if you get a no answer? We want to help children understand the emotional investment because it helps them then to accept that no answer more graciously.
That's why the Bible says, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things, right? And so all of us are in that process, but children need to learn how to release some of the earthly things and set their hearts on things that are most important. When they give their hearts over to every small request and the answer is no, then they're devastated. There's a big meltdown because they get a no answer. What we're trying to do is teach them about emotional investment. Let it go. That's what you need to do. You need to be able to let it go. We want our children to understand some things are not that important. You just need to let them go. As I was working with one young lady, she was having anger episodes on a regular basis. And so we started working together. And as we talked, over a couple of weeks, she came back and she was doing better. And I said, what was it for you? I love to ask that question. What was it for you that helped you do better in this situation? And she said, I realized that my anger wasn't getting me toward my goal. In fact, I was becoming unhappy all the time, and I needed to let it go. Letting it go enabled me to not get upset about so many different things. You see, what's the most important thing? Is it the issue of the moment? Or can I work towards some longer goals of maintaining some peace in my heart? That's what we're talking about with emotional investment. We want our children to not invest their emotions so much into every request that they make so that they're not devastated when they receive a no answer.
Another picture we can use with children as we're helping them understand this concept is to use a number scale. Because some children have a hard time still visualizing what's going on here and how much they want things. But if we give them a number scale from 1 to 10 and we say 10 things are those things in life that you really, really want, that you're really waiting for, you're anticipating, they're really exciting. You know, it's the family vacation that you've saved up for years. 10 requests are very important in life. But we also have things in life that we want that are less intense. We'll make them ones and twos and threes on the number scale. But children sometimes act as if every request they make is a number 10. Mm-hmm. And as parents, we get frustrated because we'd like to say yes to some of these things. We have to say no to some of them. And we don't even know where we are on the number scale. If everything's a 10, and we have to pick and choose, what are we going to say no to? We want to help children understand that some of these requests need to be twos and three requests, things we would like to have but are not so invested in, and help children see the difference between the two and the 10. And we may even ask a child, is this request, how badly do you really need this? Do you really want this? What is this? How important is this in your life? Is this a 2? Is this a 6? Is this a 10? What is this for you? And help children understand they can't be all 10s here. We've got to have some things we're willing to release and let go of. And so sometimes the number scale can help them to see that picture.
And we help children with this because children who use tens all the time to ask for things build resistance in parents. That's what they do. And so we get used to saying, no, I'm sorry. No, we're not going to do that. And we put up with the emotional explosions that happen. And so we're saying no to all these things. And then when the child really needs something, or this is very important to that child, and he brings it to the parent, he brings it as a 10, and we have no way of knowing whether this is a 10 or not. So we help our children understand that, look, you're building resistance in me because I'm learning to say no to even these big requests. Everything's a big deal for you. When you eventually want to bring a request to me that is a 10, and I respond with a no answer, I won't know whether it's one of those things that's a 10 or it's really a 2 or 3. Let's move our requests or responses back down sometimes to 2s and 3s instead of 10s all the time. That number scale is helpful because then you can even ask a 6-year-old, is this one of those 10 requests or is this really a 2 or 3 request? And he said, oh, it's a 10. Well, I want you to think about it. Let's talk about this now. Is it really a 10? I don't think so. I think really it's a 2 or 3. And when I may say yes to this, but let's talk about how significant this question is that you're bringing to me.
These kind of dialogues help children understand a little bit more about life, understand what's going on in their hearts, their desires, their values, especially as children get into the teenage years. We want them to understand, what are you really holding on to in your heart? What's really important to you? Where are you investing your energy and your emotion?
Yeah.
Help them to evaluate their values and their priorities in life.
All right, let's go to another suggestion for developing contentment, and that is that sometimes as parents, as we're working with our children, we have to use the principle that says, obey first and then we'll talk about it. This is just a basic principle that you might use in parenting for children who can't accept no for an answer. Obey first and then we'll talk about it. I want you to go and do what we talked about first. Don't ask me any more questions. And then if you want to talk about it after that, we can. So a child will ask a question. We have to say no. They'll come back and say, no, I want you just to obey what I've asked you to do already. Go do that. And then if you want, we'll come back and talk about it. And we can talk about it, but you see, we're reversing the order here. Sometimes our children just need to go obey first, and then we'll talk about it instead of talk before we even obey. Sometimes we need to switch those around, not because talking's bad, because our child's developing a negative heart issue here that needs to be addressed. They need to develop some contentment. They need to learn to live within limits, so we're just going to have to say no here. Go and obey what I've asked you to do, and then if you want, we'll dialogue about it.
It's amazing how often they don't really want to dialogue about it. Once they've obeyed, then the discussion is not so important to them. Discussion is often the delay tactic to keep them from obeying. But we want to help children see that the discussions are good, and I will explain to you my no answer, but first you need to respond appropriately. Respond with obedience, and then I can explain to you my no answer if you'd like that. We want to distinguish the difference between a discussion about my no answer. Well, I will explain what I was thinking. That's different than an argument where you're trying to change my mind and readjust my no answer. Yeah, I can explain it to you, but I don't want to feel bullied in the process. We can talk about it and my reasoning and why this is important. Because as parents, we have different priorities and different things we have to balance. And we can have those discussions. They're not always helpful initially. Sometimes they have to be after the fact. Okay, now let's sit down and talk about this so you can understand the bigger picture.
That's important. In fact, Paul says to Timothy when he's training him as a young pastor, he talks about arguments. He says, be careful. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. That's in 2 Timothy 2:23. I like that because I think it's good advice for families too. Sometimes we need to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to even participate in this argument. It's going to get us in the wrong direction. It's just going to create a quarrel. So the answer is no. See what we're trying to do here on the bigger scale with our kids? We're trying to help them develop contentment. We're trying to teach them to live within limits, not just so they can deal with, no, you can't watch a video tonight. We want them to learn to live within the bigger context of limits that exist out there in our world.
Contentment is a heart issue that we all need to be working on. We all need to live within limits. Some of us have an easier time with that than others, but young children can learn it. It takes time, but we want to be working with our kids, whether they're preschoolers, elementary age, up to teenagers. All kids need to learn how to accept no for an answer. No's come into our life. Limits come into our lives. And sometimes we don't understand why. But we need to have a gracious response to that no. We need to understand, when am I pushing too far? And when do I just need to stop and accept that with a sense of contentment? Not accept it with resentment, but real contentment, peace in my heart that I can live without that. That's our goal for our kids. And we can work on that every day as they're asking us for things. And sometimes we say yes. Other times we need to say no. And we want to be looking for that contentment to grow in their hearts.
You know, God has placed parents in the lives of their children to teach them a lot of heart kinds of things. This is one of those things I think that's very difficult for us as parents to teach to our children. Because we like to say yes. And furthermore, we're irritated by all of the things that they do when they get a no answer. And so we're sometimes quick to change our minds. We need to establish a plan for working with children who can't accept no for an answer, recognizing that God has placed us in a very important role in their lives, not just to get things done around the house, but to prepare them for life, to help them to be successful later on. It's the children who can live within limits and can understand contentment, who make better mates, who aren't badgering their marriage partner or arguing with them all the time or whining and complaining. That's what we're doing here. We're helping our children strengthen their hearts. Parenting is hard work at times. It's very difficult. But parenting is heart work. It's the idea of helping our children change their hearts and grow in some significant ways. Helping them learn to accept no for an answer is part of that bigger picture. Let's pray together. And Lord, it's to this end that we ask that you would teach us, each one of us as parents, contentment in our own lives. Lord, give us the ability to live within limits and then to take the truths that you're teaching us in our lives and apply them to our children. Lord, give us the perseverance and determination to work with our kids and to put up with their manipulative techniques at times. Lord, teach us how to rely on your strength to continue to say no when that's appropriate or have the wisdom and humility to change our minds and to explain to our children why we're doing so. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the discernment to know which direction to go when we're approaching these difficult issues. Teach us all to grow as a family. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.